The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yeah, we're going to have a look forward to Sunday's racing. That's the 13th of May on this podcast. My name's Lee Phelps. Very rare I get the privilege of doing this. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Andrew Mount to look forward to the racing on Sunday. You well, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Lee.
Great.
The boss is doing the podcast. I better be on my best behaviour. Mind my P's and Q's.
So it's more like there's no one else to do it, so I'm like bottom of the pile. I think that's how this works.
I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, fine. What we're going to do is we're going to split this into two. We're going to have a look forward to the racing on Sunday, but we're also going to have a look back at some of the key races on Saturday. Just to kind of reveal kind of behind the curtain a little bit, we're doing the Sunday preview before the racing starts on Saturday, and obviously we have to wait for the racing to actually take place, unless you can expertly predict what you think's going to happen in the Oaks and Derby trials today, and then we have to do the bit in the afternoon.
Yeah, sadly my crystal ball's in the repair shop, so...
It's just the way studio space works at William Hill. We have to do some of it before the racing starts and some of it during the racing. So let's have a look to tomorrow then, Andrew. Have a look first of all at the 4:10 at Ludlow. Typically with the way British racing works is that we've got a fantastic three jumps cards on during the flat season and no flat racing in the UK.
Yeah, that's right.
Go figure.
A bit frustrating for someone like me who is into draw bars and pace bars and loves the flat turf racing, but it can't be helped.
Decent racing all the same and money to be won, obviously. What are you looking at in this handicap hurdle?
Yeah, Ludlow put some good prize money on as per usual in this Class 3 2-mile handicap hurdles. Got a total prize fund of 12,500. And the one I like is the top weight, Leon Cavallo, who's making his debut for Dr. Richard Newland. This is a system I like, backing stable switchers who run for this yard for the first time. This one previously was with Ben Pauling, and before that with Godolphin. Won on the flat for Charlie Appleby, and won five times over hurdles for John Ferguson back in 2015, including the listed Wensleydale juvenile hurdle at Wetherby. Now, Dr. Richard Newland, say when he takes over horses from other yards at the first time of asking and runs them over hurdles, 29 winners from 98 runners, 30% strike rate, and a profit of £25.46 to a £1 level stake. Now, he had one of these the other day, and that also won. That was Stole the Show, who ran up Fontwell on the 9th of May, was back from 6-1 into 9-4 overnight, drifted out to 7-2 on the day and won by 3/4 of a length. He's also had a winner since with Kappa Tool. That one was ridden by Sam Twiston Davis, as Leon Cavallo is here. So I think the fact that this one hasn't won for a while means he's well handicapped. And first run for an inform yard, I think he can start for new connections with a win.
Nice. Leon Cavallo in the 4:10 at Ludlow then is the first of the two selections. The Southall card on Sunday is the additional card that's been put on. We were only supposed to have a couple of UK meetings, but we've got three here. We've got two in Ireland. We'll try and squeeze as many of the Irish races as we can during Sunday's programme. Jason Thornton is presenting. We've got John Budden and Andy Gibson. We'll be giving you all the live picks and the commentaries from those three UK meetings. But the 5:05 then at Southall, Andrew, where are you going for us on the handily named followers on Twitter handicap hurdle? I won't name who we're following on Twitter.
Yeah, this is another competitive handicap hurdle. 14 runners are due to go to post over 3 miles this time. And the one I like is St Andrews. Now, this one's yard had a winner at 12-1 at Market Raisin on Friday. That was tipped up by one of the William Hill radio listeners who sent me a message on Twitter and said he part-owned this one and they were backing him at 33-1. This was the night before. I looked at his form and I thought, this can't possibly win. What's this guy been smoking? And duly made all and won narrowly to give them a right touch.
So, did you have a little tipple anyway? Did you have a little go anyway? A little bet on it?
I had a small bet just before the off, thinking
just,
like...
You think, I've got to, really.
Just to keep it safe.
Yeah, of course.
So I could join in the celebrations. Yeah. And quite a few listeners emailed in to say they'd followed the money as well. So
they're always difficult, nice. Those, aren't they? Because if it's not your own work and someone's sent you a tip in, you're thinking... if it wins and I haven't got involved, and I feel a bit of a mug, but how often do those not win? I'm not a huge punter anymore, to be honest with you. But, you know, those ones where you get the message. I got a message through this week and thought, no, just didn't even compete. And, I'm not going to listen to them again. Guarantee next time I still will back it.
Yeah.
At least that was a good story from you.
That's right. And
happy ending.
They don't own this one. It's St Andrews, but with the yard being in good form, and what really caught the eye about this one was the runs at Newcastle since joining Julian Boannis from Ian Williams has made the running twice on the round course at Newcastle on the Tapeter surface, something that's very difficult to do, finishing a modest second last time out at 9-1. But if you backed all front runners at Newcastle on their next starts, wherever they ran, whether it's on the flat, on turf, or the all-weather hurdles or fences, you'd make a good profit. And this one's not run over hurdles since finishing third at Taunton for Ian Williams back in November. That was 3 miles and good to firm, showing improved form for the step up in trip. And it's interesting to see Brian Hughes booked. He's had 8 rides for the yard, and the last 5 have produced 3 winners, a 4th and a 5th, for a profit of £13 to a £1 level stake. So an in-form yard, a horse who should be suited by Southall after running well against the pace bias at Newcastle. And Brian Hughes booked as well. Everything point to a big run for St Andrews here.
St Andrews then in the 5.05 at Southall. Leon Cavallo in the 4.10 at Ludlow. The picks for Andrew for Sunday's racing. No prices as we record this at the moment from William Hill, but tissue prices. You're looking around a kind of 5, maybe 6-1 for each of those two picks on Sunday.
Could be a nice each way double, hopefully.
You can now listen to William Hill's 3 radio stations on the go. Just download the William Hill app and you can hear the tips and bet in one place on your phone or tablet. All you do is click the sports menu on the left hand side, select radio, and touch the horse to pick your station. William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
As promised, Andrew and I have decamped from the live studio to the office. So, should we call it the Racing Review Suite? Let's call it that.
Or the green room. It is green.
Yeah, it is a very green room, actually, yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to go review the Oaks and Derby trials that we saw at Lingfield today, Saturday the 12th. We're going to watch the races. You're going to hear them, obviously, because it's a podcast. And then Andrew's going to give us his view on the races and what came out of them for people who are looking at the Derby and Oaks. Let's start with the Derby trial, first of all, when Kew Gardens went off as the odds-on 8-11 favourite.
And Wayne under Adam Kirby straight into the lead. Ryan Moore prominent in second on board the favourite Kew Gardens with Knight to Behold on that one's outside. The Claret Jacket taking quite a keen hold. King and Empire just in behind under Oisin Murphy. The Yellow Technological, the Two Shades of Lewis Thrave, who was just taken back a little there as they settle down. Thunderhoof, Star of Southwold and Corelli are the last three as they continue along the back straight. And both a shade keen here, Knight to Behold, in company with Wax and Wayne. Technological is just tugging his way closer. Tucked in behind is Kew Gardens, in company with King and Empire. And then to the outside, Corelli just making one or two places on the outside of Thrave. And Thunderhooves and Star of Southwold, the back pair. So Knight to Behold and Richard Kingscote going on now. I've gone about 3 lengths clear of Wax and Wayne in second. Third position is Technological with Kew Gardens in fourth place. Knight to King and Empire is then in fifth position with Corelli under Frankie Dettori on the outside of Thrave and Harry Bentley. And the back pair Thunderhooves as they run uphill towards the 5 furlong marker. Star of Southwold, Tom Marquand, just last of all. Going 6 lengths clear now is Knight to Behold from Wax and Wayne in second place. Kew Gardens sits in third. They now make the descent and running back towards home. Kew Gardens is about sharing second position now as Knight to Behold has built up a very big lead, running freely, going down the hill and taking the turn to Wax and Wayne and Kew Gardens. And then King and Empire and Technological as they're about to come into the straight now. They are closing the gap on Knight to Behold, leading the way, about to come inside the three in the Betfred Derby trial. Kew Gardens is poised to strike in second spot. Wax and Wayne is hard-ridden. Technological, King and Empire, the white-faced Corelli getting rolling down the outside. A lot to do along with Thrave. It is still Knight to Behold that leads inside the two. And Kew Gardens is driven by Ryan Moore in second place. Knight to Behold still with a good advantage here. It stands at 3 lengths. Kew Gardens is going to have to find something. Inside the furlong, it's Knight to Behold Behold in front. Kew Gardens still hasn't got there, and Knight to Behold continues to give generously, striding out beautifully for Richard Kingscote, and makes just about all in the Derby trial. Knight to Behold dominates, beats Kew Gardens. Corelli stayed on for third, and then Thrave and Star of Southwold.
The commentator called that a dominating display from Knight to Behold. It was 50-1 for the big race before the off, 20-1 now with William Hill. As we record this, Andrew, Kew Gardens has held firm in the market at 33s. Dominating is a good way to describe it. Probably, I don't know if you saw that happening, but it was a good race and a very impressive performance from Knight to Behold.
Yeah, it was very impressive, and you know, he's unlucky not to be unbeaten now in his short career. He was beaten by a nose when 33-1 on his debut at Newbury last September, followed that with a narrow win at Newmarket. And then, of course, he's won this by more than three lengths today. Now, he possibly got the run of the race. He was in front soon after the start and was seven lengths clear coming around the home bend. Although Ryan Moore, you thought, felt he had the move covered on Kew Gardens, but when he asked Kew Gardens to quicken, he seemed all at sea on the track at Lingfield, suggesting that the undulations of Epsom wouldn't suit him either. But it was a nice performance from the winner. One word of caution if you think you're backing him for the Derby. After his win at Newmarket last year, his trainer said that he'd be entered in the French Derby, and that would also be a consideration. So I've not seen the quotes following this Lingfield success and what the plans are yet, so perhaps check that in the Racing Post on Sunday morning and see what Harry Dunlop says about him.
Yeah, really, nothing's really come out of the race to make you think that I'm definitely going to have a bet on that then, is it? It's more of a kind of like putting lines through horses, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd certainly put a line through Kew Gardens after that performance. I don't think the undulations of Epsom will suit him, as I said. But if Knight to Behold does turn up, you'd certainly be interested in backing him each way at a fancy price, because being trained by Harry Dunlop, he's always going to be, you know, sort of a big price in the market, you would think. Yeah, it was a good trial.
Yeah, plenty of them at the moment. Of course, Sunday's racing, we see another Derby trial at Leopardstown, so we'll keep our eyes open on that one. Let's look at the Oaks trial then.
Ryan Moore has got Flattering to the early lead, to Cosima, the light blue and yellow in second, now going upsides. Flattering with the pink jacket Lady of Shalott in third, another two lengths back as now Cosima goes on. Litigation is on the outside of Lady of Shalott, and then it's a length and a half to Cicchini, who's just racing on the outside of Perfect Clarity and the grey Queen of Connaught at the back of the field. So it is Cosima and Edward Greatrex leading the way and has gone on now by about three or four lengths. Flattering races in second place, with in third position Litigation and Tom Marquand. Back to fourth is Jamie Spencer on Lady of Shalott, with Cicchini and Richard Kingscote to the outside, and the back pair, Adam Kirby and Perfect Clarity, and Queen of Connaught and Oisin Murphy, as they continue along the far side and just taking a left-hander. And Cosima is going off at a good pace here. They're not taking too much notice at this stage, six or seven lengths ahead of Flattering. In second place for Aidan O'Brien, who won this race with Seventh Heaven just 2 years ago, went on to win the Irish Oaks. So running uphill for the next furlong, and it is still Cosima in front of Flattering in second place. Litigation to the outside. Lady of Shalott is next, one of four of these entered in the Oaks at Epsom next month, and still racing in fourth place, with then Cicchini to the outside of Perfect Clarity, and Queen of Connaught is last of all, as they're now running down, getting close to the four furlong marker, and it is Cosima that leads them into the straight. Flattering is in second position. Litigation now moving off the rail, and getting closer to Flattering is Lady of Shalott as they handle the bend. Perfect Clarity is next in the field. Cicchini has still only got Queen of Connaught behind, as the field now have got two and a half furlongs to go in the Betfred Mobile Oaks trial. Cosima being hauled back by Flattering, who's pushed along by Ryan Moore. The whip is drawn, Lady of Shalott. Cicchini is picking up well to the outside, and Perfect Clarity also coming through. A few chances here. Perfect Clarity and Adam Kirby now launching a good challenge and just going past Flattering. Cicchini still coming on the outside. Half a furlong to go. Cicchini is challenging Perfect Clarity as they race close home. Flattering is beaten in third. Perfect Clarity holding Cicchini and wins the Lingfield Oaks trial. Perfect Clarity beats Cicchini. Flattering only third. Fourth, either Queen of Connaught or Lady
of Shalott. Going into the race, all the chat was about Flattering. Was 20-1 for the Oaks pre-race. is now 33s, and Perfect Clarity gone the other way. It was 33s for the Oaks, now 20-1 as we record this with William Hill. So it was kind of a bit of a flip-flop in the betting between those two in the actual Oaks market. What did you think to the race itself?
Yeah, it was a good race. Perfect Clarity maintained their unbeaten record for Clive Cox. That's 2 from 2 now. And there was Ken Peterson's paddock pick as well. So, you know, whether she will improve massively physically from this run to her next run remains to be seen. But it's hard to argue with an unbeaten record. Both those wins came on a sound surface. And, you know, she did it well when she was challenged by the Rafe Beckett gamble, Cicini. She pulled clear and found plenty for pressure. And I certainly wouldn't put you off if she turned up in the Oaks. I wouldn't want to back Flattering. You know, she was 14-1 when winning that Cork Maiden on very soft ground. So I don't think she's near the the head of the pecking order in the Aidan O'Brien yard for the Oaks.
I'm sure you've talked about this on Racing Radio quite a lot already. But where are you at the moment with both the races? Are you still got a watching brief? Are you in? Is your money down on certain horses for the Derby and the Oaks?
Watching brief for the Oaks, but I think Saxon Warrior is going to be hard to beat in the Derby. That's fairly obvious. He's round about the even money favourite now. But for each way players, have a look at DXB in the Derby. This is one of Mark Johnson's. Did run at Epsom a couple of runs ago and was given too much to do, kept on strongly from off the pace. And then split runners drawn 2-1 when second from stall 10 at Chester in the week. So that was a really nice Derby trial. So DXB is 25-1 with us at William Hill, and I'd rather be on him each way. But gun to my head, I think Saxon Warrior wins it.
All the betting is available on the app or at williamhill.com. So if you're having a bet on the Derby or the Oaks, make sure you check out the website. Of course, we'll be covering all the trials, or as many as we possibly can, on Racing Radio as well, as we build up to a fantastic meeting. Sunday's racing then on the 13th of May. Jason Thornton, John Budden and Andy Gibson taking you through all the action from the three UK meetings and as much as the Irish as we can possibly squeeze in. Make sure you tune in at williamhill.com or on the side menu of the William Hill app.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.